All right, our next speaker really is cute as a button. He is the heart and soul of BobFest in many ways. He is our friend. He is our comrade. If you see him in the grocery store, he has time for you. He is a pioneering political blogger. He has written more books than I can count. He has a column in The Nation. His posts have been circulated internationally, quoted in books, mentioned in debates on the floor of Congress. He knows everyone here. And right after this, he's flying off to Scotland to help lead the movement for independence, because Scotland shall be free. Wherever revolution is being fomented, John Nichols is there. Our friend and comrade, Nichols the Red.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey. Scotland shall be free. All right. We got a little bit of work to do in Wisconsin. And I'm not arguing for secession here. You know, because the thing is, I'm enough of a loyal Wisconsinite that I understand the United States of America may look at us today and say, you know, I'm not sure I want to do what they did. I'm not sure I want to elect somebody who implements an austerity agenda of assaults on labor unions, cuts in public education, cuts in public services, and drives that state downward into a circumstance where it is trailing its neighboring states and running up a $2 billion deficit. I don't know if everybody else wants to do that. But I know this. I know the history of Wisconsin. And we are, you know, look, there's a beer tent over there. Occasionally, we will make amazing mistakes. But come Sunday morning, we sober up and we set it all right. And brothers and sisters, there's coming a day, and it will not be long, when they're going to understand why folks talk about a North Star. They're going to look up there on that northern border of the United States. They're going to look right up there in the middle, and they're going to say, that's right, the progressive state of Wisconsin is and always has been the greatest state in the United States. Brothers and sisters, there's so many things that have been said today. I believe everyone has said it, but not everyone has said it yet. And so I'm not going to go on for a long time, but I do want to point out a couple of heroes who are here among us. And one of them is standing right over to the side, mild. He doesn't come up and give speeches. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand why the Wisconsin uprising was so incredibly successful. And it was successful. Because sometimes you build a movement and you don't achieve everything you want right away. But over time, that movement stays strong and it grows and it eventually transforms a state and a nation. But one of the reasons the Wisconsin uprising worked so very well was because when we went into that Capitol, when we stood against a wrong-headed governor doing the wrong policies, attacking the wrong people in a lot of places around this country, you would have had that governor, those politicians, guiding the police in to break it up, push everybody out, lock every door. But in the state of Wisconsin, we have the genius that we elect our county sheriffs. And the county sheriff of Dane County said to all of those politicians, our county sheriff's deputies are not a palace guard. We don't defend royalty here. That county sheriff said, I swore an oath to keep the public safe, but the other part of that oath is that I swore to maintain the Constitution of the United States and the right to assemble and to petition for the redress of grievances. And brothers and sisters, that sheriff is Dave Mahoney from Dane County. Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney, an elected sheriff who made sure that the people had a right to speak. Dave Mahoney. Don't underestimate the meaning of having friends in high places. Now, brothers and sisters, Of course, every candidate is invited to Bob Fest. Not every candidate comes. I was hoping that my friend Paul Ryan would come this year. No, he's washing clean pots and pans, this gentleman says. No, I was hoping my friend Paul Ryan would come this year. I was glad that his opponent from a couple cycles back, John Heckenlively, is up here in front. Thank you, John. Thrown back out of politics to the wretched career of journalism. But I was, you know, my friend Paul Ryan, he wrote this book. I thought for sure he would be at Bob Fest because he devoted a substantial portion of his new book to Bob La Follette. No, I'm not kidding. He has several pages talking about Bob La Follette. And he said, he went on radio with one of his friends, Glenn Beck. And he says, what I've been trying to do is indict the entire vision of progressivism. Say, Bob La Follette's the source of everything that ails this country, everything that's wrong. The progressive movement is a horrible, scary thing. It's an awful thing. Well, immediately I thought, this coming from the guy who wants to privatize Social Security, I'll take it. He's not with us, that's okay. But Glenn Beck interrupted him. He said, Paul Ryan says, I want to indict the vision of progressivism. Glenn Beck says, I love you. I'm not kidding. You go, look at the tape. He says, I love you. And, you know, and I don't, you know, I'm kind of one of these modern guys, and I can say to Dave Mahoney, I love you. But I just want to make clear that I think that Glenn Beck was really, really impressed by that idea. There was something there that was really touching him in a powerful way. And then Glenn Beck, he goes, and I'm not making this up, he says, you know, I think progressivism is a cancer. And Paul Ryan, you know, in the courageous stand up for his home state kind of way, goes, exactly. Now, I thought to myself, that's not very polite. All these people go up to Bob Fest and you talk about progressivism that way. And then I found out something even more scary, even more unsettling. I was going to say my governor, but that's not really right. Because I do want to point out as we gather at Bob Fest that the guy who got Bob Fest started is the man who in 1998, when the Democratic Party was thinking about standing down in the governor's race, they could barely even find a candidate, couldn't find somebody to stand up and make that race. One guy stood up and made the race and redeemed and renewed the progressive movement in this state. And that gentleman is and always will be my governor, Ed Garvey. But the gentleman who currently occupies the office, and remember, it is a temporary assignment, but the gentleman who currently occupies the office, he went down to Arizona, and he was speaking at the Goldwater Institute, because I think he wanted to get a feel for the kind of results he might get if he ran for president of the United States. So he's down there talking to the Goldwater folks, and he said, you know, when I got elected governor of Wisconsin, they used to always swear people in up in the second floor of the state capitol in front of that statue, that bust of Robert M. La Follette. Now, Robert M. La Follette, he's one of those great progressives. Everybody in Wisconsin, they love him so much. But I don't love me no Bob La Follette. I moved my inaugural over to the other side of the capitol so I wouldn't have La Follette looking over my shoulder. And I just want to point out that may have made Scott Walker very happy, but I can assure you that made the bust of Bob La Follette a lot happier. So I ask myself now and again, why are these folks so afraid of Bob La Follette? Why are they so afraid of progressives? Why do they feel 100 years after this man was among us, why do they feel they got a rip on him? Why do they feel they got to attack progressivism? What is it that is so powerful about the Wisconsin progressive movement? Unique from any other place in this country. What is it that is so powerful about that movement that they fear so much? Brothers and sisters, they fear the fact that this state produced a political movement that sent a man to Washington, D.C. when a Democratic and progressive, supposedly progressive president, Woodrow Wilson, was in power, and he promised he kept this country out of war. When Woodrow Wilson decided to take this country into war, Robert M. La Follette stood up and risked his political career to say, no, we should not go to war. It's the wrong thing to do. He fought for peace in our Senate. And I don't think we can honor Robert M. La Follette today if we do not note that we've just seen the fourth president in a row say that he wants to bomb Iraq. I'm sorry. I understand all the politics of these things, but at a certain point when you've done something four times, maybe it's time to look for an alternative approach. Robert M. La Follette stood up to both parties. It wasn't about parties. It was about doing the right thing. And he didn't just do that on war and peace. He did it on global power. He stood up to colonialism. He stood up to the British and to the Germans. He said, hey, I don't want you people dividing up the world. And as we look at the challenges of Israel and Gaza, as we look at all of the challenges around this planet, we have to understand we need people who will actually stand up and say, I'm not dividing up on Democrat, Republican. I'm not dividing up on liberal and conservative. What I'm dividing up is the right and the wrong. That's what Wisconsin progressivism has historically been about, the right and the wrong. And nowhere has that right and wrong been clearer than on the question of economic and social justice. We live in a time where we casually discuss economic inequality, but we cannot divide economic inequality from small d democratic inequality. When we have this much poverty among us, and when we have this much wealth accumulated and pushed up the ladder to a tiny elite, and when we allow that elite to buy our elections and to buy our governance itself, brothers and sisters, that's not a debating topic. That's not a political issue. That is a moral challenge to our society. We need a fair and equitable distribution of the wealth in the United States. That's exactly what Bob La Follette and the Wisconsin progressives fought for. We've had a long day, and you have redeemed so many of our sensibilities. You have convinced us once more of the genius of going to Baraboo, Wisconsin, to the Sauk County Fairgrounds, going out to the countryside. Because Tom Paine was right, you know, so that which is achieved easily is not always valued. The truth is, if you got to drive to Baraboo, you take it a little more seriously. And we have come home. We've come home to the countryside, and it was in this country, at these very fairgrounds in central Wisconsin, that Robert M. La Follette went out and he quoted Edward Ryan, and he said, the test will arise in your time, if not fully in mine. The question will arise, which shall rule, wealth or man? Which shall guide our country, money or values? Who shall fill our stations of public service? Patriotic and free men and women, or the feudal serfs of corporate capital? Brothers and sisters, we have seen what happens when the feudal serfs of corporate capital become our members of Congress, our senators, our governors. They do not govern on our behalf. They do not govern on behalf of what is good for this country. They do not govern on behalf of what is good for this world. And so we gather here in Baraboo today to say that they have had their victories. They have had their time. They have proven their austerity does not work. They have proven their cuts do not work. They have proven their foreign policies do not work. Again and again, they have proven their failure. And it takes time to get everybody on board, but I'll just remind you of this. Robert M. La Follette ran for governor once in 1896, and he lost. He ran for governor a second time in 1898, and he lost. He ran for governor a third time in 1900, and he won and transformed this state. I will just point out that our current governor ran one time and won. He ran a second time and one. But this is the third time, brothers and sisters, and the third time the state of Wisconsin always gets it right. We got it right on La Follette. We're going to get it right this year. Brothers and sisters, the progressive movement is on the march. Don't deny the numbers. It's the third time. It's our time. Solidarity.
Solidarity. Solidarity.
All right.